Well, if we get a player who gets involved in something like that or does something that is just unacceptable, I don't want to pay him. I really don't. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. And so we say that if he got involved in conduct detrimental, we'd have the right to terminate the guaranteed part for the back years. His agent says, oh no, you can terminate the guaranteed part only for the remaining part of the year in which the event occurs.
Bring on the touchdown throws against Air over the labor disputes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't find what's normal in the league for that. Just seems like such a weird thing to get stuck on.
Yep. Here you go. Stewart is asking that his contract language mirror the team's last first-round picks. So, yes, the standard is
okay
to be where Stewart is.
Okay. Then that, to me, would be the Bengals, again, showing why they have the reputation that they have.
Bengals director of personnel Duke Tobin said he does not blame Stewart for his holdout, and he's listening to advice he's paying for. So it's a significant disagreement in contract language, centers around conduct detrimental to football that could negate guaranteed money. But the standard is for it to be the way that Stewart wants it.
Meanwhile, the owner said it's foolishness that he's holding out.
Right. Does the owner...
And said bad things about the agent or whatever, so yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is why a lot of owners don't talk.
803-0550. We'll get a call in. Greg in Lockport. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning. As you're talking about potential holdouts and we all kind of get our hopes up, I'm just wondering you guys' opinion about, obviously we could only have one of these two, and which would you prefer between Trey Hendrickson and Terry McLaurin?
Ooh. If I could
just have one of them?
Yeah. You could just have one right now. Boy, this is going to put me to the test. It's really going to put me to the test, Greg.
I mean, one is
a top 10 player in the league, arguably. Hendrickson. Hendrickson is a better defensive end
than McLaurin is a
receiver.
McLaurin's a pretty darn good receiver.
He is a pretty darn good receiver.
Like second team All-Pro last year. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's debatable if Hendrickson is better. Hendrickson is great.
I would give Hendrickson.
Hendrickson led the league in sacks last year. Now he's on a...
Hendrickson was a first team All-Pro last year.
There you go. Boy, that's a fun one. Where are the Bills better, defensive end or receiver?
I might be willing to say receiver. That to me, I don't know. I would still pick the receiver because I would see the value of that position higher than I would for the defensive end position. Like if my secondary is going to hold together and I've got good players at that position, I would feel like I've got enough there. Let me go score the most points in the league this year. And my offense is perfect right now, sans one top end receiver. And you're giving me that guy? Okay, I've got everything now. There's nothing I don't have on offense. And that is always going to be more important to me.
Another way to ask this question, and maybe kind of get it a little more reasonable, and Greg, thanks for the question. I'm really hard for me to turn down any sort of Terry McLaurin idea, but Hendrickson is great. But to make it, all right, that's ridiculous. That could never happen. Here's a version of it. Put a bet on the bet board for this, Joe. What position will they target at the deadline? First off, they're going to have to create some room. They need to make some cap moves to get under the cap and maybe try to create some room.
They might, unless they do something of significance, they might not have room to do something.
What if you
do an Amari Cooper-level trade even? Although, remember, what was the deal with Cooper? All his money was prorated or something, or
they paid
the bonus
nothing.
Was at the beginning of the year, so it cost them nothing.
Yeah.
So you could find that. Okay, so
What position? It would be more likely to be just of those two or
anything? No, anywhere. What's
anywhere?
I mean, injuries are injuries. So let's say they're healthy at the deadline. What position are they most likely to target at the trade deadline? If you were to bet today, what's the favorite?
I was about to say safety. But I've got Sal's voice in my head saying that they like familiarity with safety, right? And are they going to want to plug a guy in midway through the year?
I think we can say, sure, they might like familiarity. They need, at that position, results. And last year, they did not get results at that position. And I just saw recently NFL rosters. Let me find it here for you. Jerry O sent me this link about the top 10 rosters and who's good and who's bad. ESPN ranked the Bills the fourth best roster. Their biggest weakness? Safety.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills grades, if you care about PFF, they grade terribly in coverage.
Yep.
Now, there are things that Taylor Rapp does well, but the PFF grades.
Tackling, I think, is like the one.
Tackling,
he's
very good.
He's like an elite tackler, but he can't cover.
And Hamlin, like, it
couldn't cover.
Bishop has to win that job so they can potentially be better at that spot.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, the safety position kind of never got off the ground. It was supposed to be Mike Edwards or Bishop, maybe could win the job, and Hamlin gets it.
They just have so many receivers that. But could someone come in over the top of them?
The answer to this could be
a yes. It would have to be a really good receiver. If it's a McLaurin-level receiver, that makes more sense to me than, hey, let's do Amari Cooper again.
Right.
Or let's bring in, you know, some other teams. Let's bring in Darius Slayton, like some level of receiver like that. Like, that to me doesn't make sense.
Well, I guess you'd make it like this to get back to Greg's question. If you could have McLaurin or Hendrickson, you have to take a guy off the team. So, okay, McLaurin in, and who's out?
Samuel.
Right, Curtis Samuel. That's a $9 million cap hit.
Yep.
Fine, okay. And if it's Hendrickson who's in, who's out?
Appanessa.
Or you would just...
I don't think that helped me get to my answer. Ever. Well, although, maybe. Like, I like Samuel, the player, just can't stay healthy.
Well,
Appanessa, I just feel like it's just kind of there.
At the risk of sounding like it's totally revisionist, it's just, I like to make this point about paying the middle tier guys versus saving up for the whales.
Right.
If you did not pay Curtis Samuel, and if you did not pay Joey Bosa, how much do you have in AAV? It's like $21 million to spend.
Yep.
On those two guys. So if instead of going for the middle guys and kind of bargain hunting in free agency, you spent more picks there and saved that money for a moment where, a guy with an $18 million cap hit just came available. Can I go get that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the scenario that you do. The Bills, again, like when we get down into these conversations, it ends up, you could call it nitpicking. You could call it a full, deep audit. If there's something to say about their receivers, they don't feel they need a true number one. And I don't think that that is wrong. But
yeah.
I like to point out a lot, but they're not an economical group of receivers. They are paying good money at the position. So one way to find $18 million is to stop giving out those contracts and really have it be about draft picks and really big guys and not kind of burning up money on you know, the Chargers' third receiver, finger quotes, if you wanted to say something about Palmer. He could work out really well here. But $11 million for Josh Palmer on a three-year deal is like 11 per, 10 per. That's money that, you know, a draft pick would be a half of that salary on a four-year deal. So they're trying to fill a roster. I get it, though. Not every build is the same. And what's Bean trying to do? Plug holes and get this thing over the line. And he might have done it this year. We'll find out. We're a day away from camp.
I'm trying to imagine the scenario where we're at the deadline and we're like, they got to get a receiver. What does that look like? Because I probably need multiple pieces to fail to get to that place. Or maybe, what could it just be one if it's Coleman? If Coleman is not, it's not happening. Like, he's not getting open. He's being asked to do more of the dirty work because Mac Hollins is gone and it's just, it's not there. Or maybe he's late to a meeting again and there's some question about, you know, professionalism or maturity. Like, could I get there with him? Because that big-bodied ex-receiver, which most people aren't even sure he can do, that's his job, and who else can do it
yeah.
on the roster? Like, is Josh Palmer going to do it? Because
he can
a little, but that's not what anyone sees as his strong suit.
Did you hear Trapasso on Friday on Coleman?
No.
Like, he was not a big fan of the pick.
Yeah.
And I said, are you feeling better about him after seeing a year? And his answer was no.
Right.
Like, X receiver, it's just it's not ever going to really work the way that the Bills maybe want it to.
So what if we get to the deadline and it's becoming more and more clear, like, hey, like, this is all looking pretty good. They're still scoring points and Shakir's good and Palmer's getting open. Maybe it's the Z receiver, like the other one. But that on the line, that physical guy, you're out there and run plays blocking.
He's going to do that, but the question is...
But what if all that's not happening?
Right.
Because he's going to do more of that this year than he did last year. And what if in those other areas that would keep him on the field... not really happening, and he's not getting open. Because that's possible.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring him up and I single him out is, like, if Shakir, it's not going to happen, but if Shakir regresses, or for some reason you don't feel comfortable putting him out in the slot, I got seven other guys I could put in the slot. I can put Kincaid in there. I can put Samuel in there. I can put Elijah Moore in there. I can put Palmer in there. If Coleman isn't doing it in that role, I don't see another player in their depth chart right now that really fits. And then I could get to, okay, who's available to the deadline? But that's the most I could do to get to a point where, without an injury, like, receiver is a real strong idea for them to acquire.
Pete Guelli has tweeted.
Okay.
Just moved
helmet?
All moved into my dorm room for Bills camp. Only the essentials. There is a red helmet in the picture.
Okay.
So now it's either going to be a troll setup or it's just the obvious answer that it's a red helmet.
That would be torturous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like there's no way that they're going to tease fans with red and not deliver on red. It makes the most sense to just have a one-off year with a red helmet at the stadium. Just go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep it around, you keep it around. And if you don't, you don't. So, all that
I cannot believe that's not on purpose, and we're about to have a red helmet.
Red helmet,
yeah.
Bills introduced red helmet. It's gotta
that
be.
makes more sense lining up with the rumor yesterday about there being like a white silver helmet. That just sounds like the rivalry series, and this is where I would have thought they ended up, which is red helmet, and then you also have this other thing that we're gonna have. At some point in the
That's what excites me. This red helmet, fine. Everybody will be happy. That's good. Hit me that rivalry uniform as soon as possible. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We're going to break in Extendo Sports in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. Steve.